Good morning. If you have your Bible with you this morning, and I hope you do, please open to John chapter 3. We will be in John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. As I begin talking with the search committee here, months ago, I've been thinking about what to preach. And I can think of no better topic and no more important topic than the topic of the gospel. The gospel is the foundation of our life in Jesus Christ. The gospel is the message that we bring to a dead and dying world. And I can find no greater clarification of the gospel than what we find in John chapter 3, verse 16 through 21. Oftentimes we stop at verse 16, but I think for us to get the full beauty and the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have to read the whole section. So John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that light came into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, as we come to this passage of Scripture that so plainly and so beautifully presents the gospel message to us, we pray as your people that we would be a channel of blessing for this gospel message. As we consider the state of the world that is in, we know that we have the answer to the problems wherever we are. We know that we have the answer to everyone's greatest need, the message of forgiveness that has been made possible through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I do pray that if there are any here this morning gathered who have not come to know the saving power of Jesus Christ, that today, through the songs that we've sung and through this word, they would come to know him who has come, that they might have life. For this we pray in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. This morning, we're going to be considering four things from this passage. First, the cause of our salvation. Secondly, the cost of our salvation. Third, the condition of salvation. And fourth and finally, the consequences of this salvation that our Lord and Savior has provided for us. So let us first begin by considering the cause of salvation. Why is anyone saved? Have you ever wondered that? Why has God saved anyone? And Jesus here in John 3:16 makes it very plain. It is not a result of our works. It is not a result of us impressing ourselves upon God, convincing a reluctant God to save us. Jesus makes it clear that the origin, the cause of our salvation, traces it back to the love of God, for God so loved the world. The authors of the New Testament are clear and plain that it was the purpose of God to display his love towards the world and providing salvation for him. And I think it's important for us to understand the connotations that the world has. It does include the world, everyone in the world, but it isn't meant to just impress upon us the vastness of the world, but it is meant to impress upon us the greatness of God's love because of the condition of the world. John, who is writing this letter, later on he's going to write another epistle, and he's going to say that this whole world lies under the evil one. When the New Testament writers write of the world, they speak of the world as being in rebellion to God. And what Jesus here is saying, that God has loved a world that was in rebellion to him, a world that was running away from him. Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. He says that God shows his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And there is no better news that any of us could hear at any point of our lives. That is the good news that we never move past, that when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we were still sinners, God displayed his love for us. And for those of us who are believers, that is a great consolation. Oftentimes in our Christian lives, we find ourselves and we wonder, how can anyone love me the way that I am right now? Well, the good news is that God has loved you at your worst. God has loved you at your lowest. God has loved you when you wanted nothing to do with him, and he has, before the foundation of the world, planned to send his son to live a perfect life without sin, to die the death that your sins deserve, so that through him you could know his love as a child. The cause of our salvation is not that we have earned the love of God. The imagery used of our salvation relationship in the Gospel of John is found in John chapter 1 when John speaks of how Jesus came to his own and his own did not receive him, but to all who received him, who believed in his name, he is given the right to become children of God. Now, have you thought about that lately, that God is giving you the right to become children, and that is not something you earn? It's not as if children at the hospital, when they're born, have to meet a checklist for mom and dad to decide, okay, we're going to bring Junior home with us because he checks off all the right boxes. The child comes home because of love or even an adoption. It's not as if there's a checklist that the parent checks off. Okay, the child meets all the criteria. There is a love beforehand. During my time in seminary, even after, I've had many friends who have adopted. I've got a friend right now. He lives in Bardstown, Kentucky. He's in the process of foster through adoption, and the parents have recently surrendered the rights to their daughter. And before that little girl was even placed in my friend's home, they loved her, and they were committed to loving her. And that is a picture of the love that God has for us. Before the foundation of the world, even in our sin and rebellion and folly, God has chosen to love us in that, and it is that love that has caused him to send his son. For God so loved the world that he did something. Paul says that our love is to be word and deed and not word alone. And I think Paul says that to the church in Corinth because Paul knows that God does not simply love us in word. God loves us in word and deed through the sending of Jesus, which points us to the cost of our salvation. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. The cost of our salvation was the life and death of Jesus Christ. It was a debt that we owe to God because of our sins. The psalmist elsewhere writes, who can ransom his life from the grave? It is a debt that we owe, but it is a debt that we cannot pay. Our sins have left us in grave danger because we do not just face physical death as a result of our sins, but we face the possibility of eternal separation from God himself. And God, because of his great love for us, has paid the cost for our salvation. He has paid the price for our pardon in sending the Son. Peter puts it this way, that we were ransomed with the precious blood of Christ like that of a lamb without spot or blemish. Our salvation was not charged to God's MasterCard. He didn't open up the divine wallet and pay for our sins. Our sins were paid with blood. And I don't think it's for no reason that John's first words that open up the ministry of Jesus are those of John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He takes away our sin by being the price for our sin, by being the one who would be crushed for our